Buona vita. Hey guys, it's Flying Tobin, or Tobin Osuski as some of you may know. I want to thank you for tuning back in. It's been a while since I've recorded one of these. My first season was actually wildly popular amidst my community and the friends of mine's communities that I associated with and brought in as interviews. Some insightful stuff, some poignant stuff. Now, what I was thinking about in reflection over the past year, it's 2020. For those of you who are attuned to what society and planet Earth is going through, it's been quite the year and quite the time. And that's really why I haven't recorded, because the nature of this podcast was discussing the art of flying and heaven and advancing consciousness. And we seem to be collectively in a place where the opposite is going on, strangely, paradoxically. So I reevaluated my entire reality, really listened to the questions that I was asking my guests, and then deeply absorbed their answers to these questions and tried to, as best I could, quell my ego and my own better answer for everything. And in that, I cultivated this state of, we'll say an inner state, right? An inner state of calm and peace and stillness and quiet. And that allowed me to truly listen, probably for the first time in my life. What I heard was a calling to bring me to Costa Rica, which is why I started this episode off with Pura Vida, which means pure life. Every person you meet down here in Costa Rica, which is where I am recording this from right now, begins and ends their conversations with Pura Vida, which is something we in North America need to learn more of. There is something so admirable about the consciousness down here, the environment, the nature of the people. They are truly extraordinarily happy and satisfied with all that they have, or the little that they have. And I believe this was my intention when I began this podcast, was to have the listener and have my guest as well ask themselves questions that they might not have ever asked themselves. And I would ask them these questions. And these were those seven questions that were congruent through all of the episodes of our first season. And I want to thank all of my guests, Dina, Rachel, Gatsby, Billy Keenan, Vinny, and Missy. Thank you all for your insight, your wisdom, your kindness, your openness, especially because you being so open with your heart, your soul, your wishes, your goals, surely liberated so many listeners. I've been reached out to by, I'd say, a dozen or so people that have heard the podcast over the last year. And specifically, they mentioned bits and pieces that they've taken with them continuously every day that have benefited their reality. And I cannot be more grateful for that. And what they also inputted was that they wanted to hear more about my experiences and why I was asking these questions, because it seemed like I was coming from a place where I had experienced all these things, and I absolutely have. And again, going back to earlier this year, our planet was hit with something that it's never been hit with before, at least in such a technologically advanced state, and our inability as humans to come together and figure out a solution still. What is it, 9-10 months after this pandemic started, we still don't have solutions. We have limitations, we have modifications to our lifestyles, but there are no real solutions. And I truly believe that the solution to this current issue that our world and our species and all living things on this planet are going through is pura vida. And I'll get into that a little bit more, because when I was thinking about answering these questions myself, I was all over the place. I've had so many different experiences exploring consciousness and interacting with amazing elements of reality. Yet, if I were to try to specify what is heaven to me, it would be very allegorical. It would be very symbolic. Now, I can actually tell you specifically how I feel about all of these questions, and I can answer very concisely and directly my inner feelings on these things and where I am now. So I thank you guys for tuning back in and staying committed to me. I operate through time differently. I don't like to put things out every day. I'm not a content booster. Waking up and posting content is not my life's purpose, yet I know it benefits other people, so it is something that's very important to me, and here I am, and I promise from this moment on, now that I am here in Costa Rica, I will be posting more, and I'm actually going to modify the structure of these podcasts so that I just, and whoever my guest and friend may be here with me, we will speak on a specific subject, one subject, that, of course, you know, encompasses all of the seven questions that I asked previously. But this episode will be the last episode in which the seven questions are asked, and I will be the one addressing them. So this can act as the final episode of the first season or the first episode of the next season and the rest of the Art of Flying podcast ad infinitum. So thank you for tuning in. Let's get right to it. So the first question I was asking guests is probably the hardest one to answer, and that's why I really started with it, because it would open them up to answering the other questions without hesitation, and they got all the difficult processing through. So first question, what is heaven to you? What is heaven to me? A lot has changed in my perspective of this idea. When I was a kid, I thought heaven, like we all did probably, was a distant place up in the clouds, potentially in this dimension, potentially in another dimension that we transitioned to, and, you know, winged angels and cherubs and goodness and happiness and joy and no sadness and badness. Yeah, it's wonderful, but it's unattainable. That was not the point of my podcast and starting this and asking this question. I wanted heaven to be attainable for people during this lifetime. And I truly feel that heaven is a state of consciousness, just as hell is, just as purgatory is. So heaven to me is a choice. Now, I can say I'm in heaven and be living in the slums of the Bronx in a rundown old apartment with rats bigger than my foot, and it would be a delusion. Or I could say, heaven is here, which means within me, and then my outside world would need to align to reflect that. Hence, me moving to Costa Rica. I did research for years. If heaven might exist on Earth, where would it be? And after all of my research, I deduced that it is in Costa Rica. But it also is in Bali. And it also is in other places. So this planet has heaven on Earth. So there's two forms of heaven that I believe in. There's the intrinsic heaven consciousness that we can decide upon moment to moment. And if we can pin that decision and choice in an alchemical or hermetic type of way, in which we're not going back and forth on the pendulum of emotion and one day is hell, one day is purgatory, one day is heaven, when we can decide with the strength of our mind and the power of our spirit that heaven is here now all the time within me and it emanates from me, your decisions and your reality will start to transform your environment and what you see on the outside, the extrinsic illusions that manifest around our choices and our consistency and patterns of those choices. So to me, heaven is right where I am right now, inside of me. I have also moved my physical body to a place on planet Earth that I can consider the exteriorization or externalization of heaven state. There is nothing in my deductive reasoning that proves that this place is not heaven. So if Sherlock Holmes were investigating, is Costa Rica heaven? And he had all the elements that define heaven to Tobin, he would prove that this is heaven. A friend of mine, Ryan Jefferson, an extraordinary being that I knew from college, one of my good friends, right after college moved to Bali, and I've been observing him living his personal heaven in a physical heaven for almost 15 years now. I spoke of heaven for many years. I defined it. I tried to pull it out of other people. I tried to get them to see that they were choosing to not be in heaven. But I was also doing the same. By seeing my friend Ryan and being inspired yet not motivated, I was choosing purgatory. Although I was cultivating heaven within me, I was not fully allowing it to reflect on the outside of me, therefore limiting myself from a proper life experience the way it should be. So that is heaven. Choosing a life that suits you and your happiness to the ultimate fulfillment possible. I encourage you to define your own heaven and then look around and go find it and place yourself there. You were meant for this. Truly. I can't use any words to describe the profound nature of actually moving and engulfing yourself in your personal heaven and the amount of happiness that will overflow abundantly each moment that you're there. So I highly encourage you, if you're listening to this, to go out, write down your own personal definition of heaven and then see where on earth you can find it and get there. Don't hesitate. Just go and do it. Heaven is for our attainment. I promise. And the next question I would ask people is, have you felt enlightenment? And if so, please describe. So my experience is very unique. When I was 18 years old, I was in a catastrophic car accident. I was in the back seat of a car that was driving about 90 miles an hour, roughly maybe 100. We were on a highway and the driver lost control. And the end result was the car flipping about 10 times. I was trapped in the car the entire time, being crushed with each flip, torn apart. I had 14 inches of lacerations on my scalp alone. I was scalped. I had flesh torn off from my skull as if a professional trained butcher had done it. It required over 550 stitches or sutures to repair my head alone. From my neck down, I had broken and fractured about 8 vertebrae. From my cervical, 2 in my cervical, to 2 in my lumbar, to a fair amount of my tailbone and sacrum. Numerous fractures between all these vertebrae. I had second and third degree burns on 80% of my body from laying and scalding gasoline. These burns bubbled on my skin for weeks. And then for weeks after that, skin fell off of my body in chunks as if I was a shedding snake that had been lit on fire by a blowtorch. So I couldn't just easily peel off my skin. It was just falling off in chunks. But miraculously, everything healed itself. I don't really know how. I have some ideas, and I know some genetic benefits I had and some predispositions neurologically that I had to communicate with my cells that thankfully were, you know, cultivated beyond the average person. When I was younger, I had Tourette syndrome, which is literally a neurological impulse that is overwhelming and the bearer cannot truly control. But I needed to control it and I needed to master it. So when I was about 12 years old, I did so. Now, how did I do this? A lot of frustration, a lot of challenge, but I was an extremely good athlete. So I figured if I can train myself to learn all these advanced sports skills, well, then I can control this because this is a body impulse. And I was the master of controlling body impulses. So I went to the top of a mountain nearby the house I grew up in, found a clearing, and little did I know, but I taught myself to meditate and to use pranayamic breathing. I figured that through breath control and mind control, I could control this thing that was controlling my mind, body, and breath and vocalizations. And after months of progressing and being able to resist the Tourette's tics, there was a breaking point. I was on this mountaintop. I remember the sun was setting one night and I was resisting the impulse of the Tourette syndrome, which kind of feels like a bully inside of you poking you until you do what it asks. And I defeated the bully, but what had happened was a burst of light entered the forefront of my mind. And I thought, oh, maybe the sun just set over the mountains and I'm seeing that through my closed eyes. But I also heard a pop, like a big giant pop. And immediately I felt this rush of chemistry flow through my body and I felt a confidence that I now had control over the Tourette syndrome. So, interestingly, a few weeks later, I was hospitalized with extremely excruciating headaches, and after 10 or 11 days in a hospital, multiple spinal taps, tons of MRIs and CAT scans, and every doctor under the sun trying to figure out what was going on, an ear, nose, and throat specialist realized that I had somehow ruptured my sphenoid sinuses, which sit just in front of the pituitary gland, which controls body function, interestingly. So what I had done on that mountaintop that day, in hopes to control my Tourette syndrome, was created an electromagnetic pulse from my pituitary gland that surged through my entire body and consciousness, my entire neurological network, and said, stop it. Whatever neurochemicals were released from that EMP, that electromagnetic pulse that I had consciously created, was so powerful that the chemistry changed my body forever. And at the same time, ruptured these sphenoid sinuses, which was now causing a sinus leak onto my brain directly, causing a small brain infection that they went in, healed with antibiotics quick. This ear, nose, and throat specialist basically created scar tissue to replace that missing part of the bone, and everything's been fine since. Now let's fast forward to when I was 18 in the car accident, and I had to heal myself from breaks, burns, rips, tears, traumas, brain injury, lung damage from swallowing the scalding gasoline. Every cell in my body needed repair, and all of the sudden I remembered that I had this superpower in which I could speak to each one of my cells and direct my endocrine flow or chemistry release to the areas that needed it most. To me, this was enlightenment. Until I got to college and realized how ignorant I was in so many different ways. So I feel enlightenment can come in an instant and disappear. I feel if we're intelligent enough and disciplined enough that we can maintain the principles that we felt during enlightenment and the feelings, and we can apply them to other things in life and hopefully repattern our consciousness and our way of thinking so that enlightenment is a moment-to-moment opportunity for us. Enlightenment can come by happenstance, like when it happened to me for the Tourette syndrome. It can also come in necessity, as when I needed it during my accident or just after my accident. But it can also come by choice. And that's the most important message I can give you, is enlightenment is a choice. It's to bring more light into a dark situation, however you see that, symbolically or realistically. So I encourage everybody listening to figure out your periods in your life where you've experienced enlightenment and try to replicate that. Replicate the elements that led you to that point, because that's a pattern, it's a pathway, it's a code to enlightenment. So it is so very possible, but I encourage you each individually to find your own specific enlightenment moments and try to reinforce those and repeat those as much as possible. And then that repetition will become a pattern, and that pattern will become part of your character, and that will become who you are defined by the moment you leave this earth. And the impact you make on other people by living an enlightened life or seeking such an enlightened life will automatically allow them to seek more light in their life. And that ultimately is what we're here for. My next question was, can we build utopia? Now I'm going to say 100% yes, because where I am right now is utopia. Undoubtedly, without question, the people here know it, they believe it, the visitors here know it, they believe it. So there's no denying it. This is a nation that obviously operates under the human conditions of planet Earth, which means it has governments and it has politicians and it has business people. Yet, these people and this community and this place have a trademark or a tagline that they all live by before anything else, before they do business, before they get into a relationship, before they engage in any type of human interaction. Their underlying principle is pura vida, pure life. So utopia must be built around a concept, and those consciousness who are magnetized to the concept will be the formation of the utopia. It is something that I don't believe exists naturally. I believe the idea of utopia is man-made and has to be maintained. So, if you have not experienced a utopia, or you are not in belief that utopia is possible, it's because you have not conceptualized it within yourself yet, so it does not have the opportunity to be possible in this universe for you. Yet, for somebody standing right next to you, it could absolutely be possible, and they could be working towards it, and they may find themselves there soon. And you may question, how did that person get there when I'm stuck over here? And I can't even fathom some of us building utopia, let alone all of us building utopia. And interestingly, my friend, you're the limiting factor on planet Earth. I don't mean to put that on you, but you're putting that on you. You're choosing to not entertain a perfect life for yourself. And that's delusional, and it's sad. And I'm sorry that you feel that way, but you need to stop it, because we can build a utopia, but it starts with you. And I have seen it here in an entire country, in Costa Rica. So if you don't believe that utopia is possible, you need to visit here. You need to stop making excuses. Come here, go to Bali, talk to my friend Ryan Jefferson. There's other places to go as well. But if you want a true experience of utopia, call me, message me, reach out to me, come visit me. Because you are living in a fragmented reality that is not benefiting you, and that needs to change. So I absolutely believe we can build utopia. I've seen it, I'm seeing it, I'm living in it. So it is possible. And I encourage you to get to a utopia place. They're there, and you can build your own within it. So imagine, like, I'm going to build a concentrated utopia within utopia. Could you even imagine? I hope you can. So the most important question I suppose you want to know from me, Flying Tobin, is what does flying mean to me? I truly 100% believe that in our lifetime, we will see human beings figure out how to fly. Whether we grow the necessary or evolve or adapt the necessary appendages to do so, or we truly gain mastery over the electromagnetics and acoustics of this planet that allow us to manipulate the reality, just like we've become great swimmers and runners, and we've, in the past 100 years or so, developed hundreds of different flying devices externally. I truly believe that in this generation, we are going to collectively all begin to fly together. Now you say, oh gosh, how is that even possible? Well, the fact that you don't believe it's possible is why we're limited as a collective. Does that make sense? Because so many of us believe something isn't possible, keeps it from being possible. But when a critical mass or a certain threshold is passed, when computers first came around, nobody understood them, so they didn't believe in them. They didn't understand the science behind it. They didn't see any benefit to it. Now every single person on planet Earth wants a computer, needs a computer, wants to learn how to operate a computer, knows a computer is a vital part of their future and their reality. This will be the same thing. Whether it is a collective consciousness uprising where we all believe we deserve more opportunity in this universe and we want to stop skydiving and riding in helicopters and planes and we want to do this ourselves, we can will this. We can will this evolution just like we have in so many different ways throughout the history of humans. But at the same time, it can happen instantaneously. So there have been mystics throughout time, Tibetan monks, Saint Joseph of Cupertino, a canonized saint of the Catholic Church. It's endless. There was talk of, you know, Lungonpa, setting your eyes on a distant star in a meditation for so many days that when you became fixed on it, the monks that mastered this could travel across thousands of miles in a matter of moments, as if they were bounding on a trampoline, each step covering 50 to 100 meters with minimal effort. And there's numerous stories throughout history, well-documented opportunities for you to know that flying is real. So, I believe in our lifetime, many humans will be seen to fly and known to fly, and it will just be another aspect of human transportation. Some of us are born and confined to wheelchairs. Some of those beings are able to liberate themselves and get out of the wheelchair and eventually walk and run and live a normal life, as we would call it, those who are walking and running and trapped on the ground. For those who were around in the lifetime of these beings, these profound beings that would actually fly, they saw an opportunity for more. So they could start to entertain, wow, this is possible for humans. But we, in our current society, love to limit ourselves. And even more, we love to limit other people. the things we believe ourselves to be, we don't necessarily believe other people to be. I am telling you here that my name, Flying Tobin, is not by accident. It was given to me by life, by the universe, by my actions, by people that have observed me flying. Simple. I'm not here denying it. I'm not here saying I don't walk, I don't skateboard, I don't bike, I don't surf, I only fly. But I can prove 100% that when I decide to go into the air, that I don't have to come down at the same time or rate as other humans. And I've proven it for a lifetime. It's not something I need to prove to anybody else, but it's something that I love to expand my abilities on for myself. And when people see me flying and floating in the air and hovering, they are shocked, and they hopefully will see more potential for themselves and not some delusion that they've created, and they'll try to project that on me and tell me that I can't fly. Because that doesn't make sense, because they've observed me doing it. So why try to limit me from my grace because you're limiting yourself from your grace? Why not see an amazing opportunity for somebody else and think, I deserve that opportunity? Because you do. So flying is real, but flying is also symbolic. The only way that you can ever imagine yourself flying physically is if you can see yourself doing it symbolically and you live up to it mentally and spiritually. I hope that makes sense for you. Now, the one biggest factor to getting off the ground and staying up there, physically or symbolically, is asking the universe and asking yourself to not be held down by the things that other people do. Don't be weighted and anchored down by all the heaviness that other people bring to your life. Allow your light and your grace to lift you up above. May you rise above it and provide them an opportunity to see something else. That was a phrase and a prayer by St. Joseph of Cupertino, and I encourage you to look him up. Dreams. Have any of my dreams come true? Every single one of my dreams has come true. Every one of them. All of them. Very quickly. From meeting soulmates to flying to experiencing my business success very young in my life to buying dream homes one after another to acting on things that my heart told me to do and then experiencing so much amazing life once I got there. Meeting all of the celebrities and famous athletes I ever wanted to meet. Every one of my dreams has come true. Literally. And now I am here in a dreamland named Costa Rica, whose phrase is pura vida, pure life. What bigger dream could I ever have than to live a pure life, and for me personally, never experience a winter or cold weather again, to eat off the land, to not have to worry about so many bills that I can't allow my dreams to come true. Dreams do come true, but you have to work for them. Every single one of the dreams that's ever come true for me has been on the other side of hard work and dedication and smart work. Here's an example. My entire life, I was a very good athlete, but I never really liked watching any sports. Wasn't my thing. People always say, you're such a good athlete. You don't love sports? I said, I love sports, but I'm a good athlete. I'm so busy playing them. Why would I watch other people play them? I said, if I need to learn some things, I'll go and watch, like education. But I'm not going to sit there for 3 hours a night and watch sports when I want to be playing sports. I'll be out training. The only sport I ever really enjoyed watching was basketball, NBA basketball, specifically the New York Knicks in the late 1990s, the early 2000s, when they had Allen Houston. They still were coming off the days of John Starks and Patrick Ewing and those guys, and, you know, Charles Oakley and Larry Johnson and, you know, Latrell Sprewell and, oh man, so many great players. But New York basketball was the center of planet Earth basketball for me. And there was a time where the New York Knicks were actually good. And that's when I really loved basketball. So the New York Knicks had this player named Allen Houston who seemed like not only such a good and dedicated and hardworking basketball player and a guy that loved his team, but a guy that was really a good human being and lived by all the right principles, and he was somebody I admired. So now let's say I was 13 in eighth grade, and that was at the peak of when Allen Houston was my role model and my idol for sports. Many years go by, the accident happens, I'm in college, and while I'm in college, I'm watching the news and a terrible hurricane passes through the southern coast of the United States and absolutely destroys the city of New Orleans. It was Hurricane Sandy. No, it wasn't. It was Katrina. I'm sorry, Hurricane Sandy hit New Jersey. I apologize. Hurricane Katrina destroyed New Orleans. And for 3 days, I'm watching the news cover helicopters going over people, struggling on roofs with messages written to help. And the helicopters are more worried about getting news stories than helping the people that they're getting the news stories on. And then I watch the former president of the United States fly over in a helicopter as if he was Santa Claus on a Christmas parade waving to everybody dying on the roofs in New Orleans after 7 or 8 days. And my heart sunk into my stomach. I got so sad I might have cried. I'm almost crying right now thinking about it again. My heart completely broke for those people, for our country, for myself, knowing that if this ever happened to me or my family, that we would be mocked by our country, we would be mocked by the news, we would be mocked by the president. And I had to do something about it, and I reached out to my parents, and I said, when I come home this winter, I want to go to New Orleans to help these people. And they said I was crazy, but that the church my mother and, you know, we were kind of raised in was sending a group of people down there to help. And I said, who are these people? And to be quite honest, it was a group of like 50, 60-year-olds that I guess had this missionary nature in them, but they weren't going to do any good down there. You know, a few of them were skilled workers, but the rest of them didn't do anything. And I said, well, I need to go with them. How can we work this out? And when the church found out that I wanted to go, they paid for a ticket for me to go to New Orleans that year. I think it was January after Hurricane Katrina. And I went down there thinking I was going to be a superhero and fix everything, and it was devastated, and I was devastated, and there was nothing that could be done. I just talked to people and listened to people and wanted to hear their stories, and they were just grateful that people were coming from elsewhere to help them because they felt abandoned by their government. They felt abandoned by their community, their neighbors. They felt abandoned by the rest of the country until we started showing up and just showing them that we cared. Never in my life have I experienced something so real, so heartbreaking, so disappointing. Yet I was ultra inspired to become a better person and become a stronger man and become a more involved person in my community and speak up for people that couldn't speak for themselves and fight for somebody that couldn't fight for themselves. And if I could, even if it was just a drop in an ocean, I would try to put that drop in the ocean to try to help those people. And I knew that was my nature. And I found who I was. I learned during that super sad, disappointing time that this is who I was, that I was not the person that I was told by my community. This athlete was not important. All of these definitions other people had given me were unimportant to me at that point. The only person I wanted to be was somebody that helped other people. If I were to die tomorrow, I wanted yesterday to be a day that I helped as many people as I could. And I was leaving New Orleans with that mindset that for the rest of my life, all of my time and energy was going to be dedicated to helping other people. And that in turn would be the way I'd help myself. That no matter what success was thrown at me and opportunities were thrown at me, if it wasn't in the serving of other people, I would not do it. I would turn down money, I would turn down cars, I would turn down every lifestyle that the devil might tempt me with or this world might tempt me with, because I knew my intrinsic nature and I was going to stick to that no matter what. So now I'm in the New Orleans airport, ready to travel back to New Jersey, thinking, what am I going back to? I should just stay down here and continue to help these people and figure this out. God rewarded me. The universe rewarded me. As we're about to board the flight, we're sitting in the little section of the airport where all the seats are, waiting for boarding. And another flight that's going up to New York has a bunch of these tall gentlemen on it. And I'm looking around, and my 13-year-old mind goes, oh my God, oh my God, that's Allen Houston. And there was other basketball players there. It was John Sally, a ton, legendary Hall of Fame basketball players. I don't know what they were down there for, but Allen Houston, my role model growing up, because he was a good guy and did the right things. After I just made this decision to the universe that this is who I was going to be, provided me my role model. Could you imagine that? I've never been starstruck in my life. I've met so many celebrities and so on and so forth and become friends with them. On an even page, oh my God, I can't tell you how nervous I was to meet Allen Houston. You should see these pictures from this day. I keep one of them in my passport at all times. He's sitting there smiling, relaxed, and I look like I'm about to get hit by a bus that's covered in razor blades. Like, my face is so terrified and shocked. I guess it's the feeling like people pass out when they meet a Justin Bieber or something, you know, a young girl or something. I felt just like that, but I did not know what was happening. I thought I was interacting with the consciousness of the universe itself, God himself, herself, whatever it was there in that airport rewarding me for making this life decision. Whew, that was an emotional story. So not only have all of my dreams come true, but there's a formula to making your dreams come true. You need to discover who you are truly within yourself and live up to that fully. And life, the universe, God will give you every single dream you've ever had. It might not last forever. It might just be a moment. But the great thing about being a human and having a brain is we store memories and we have photographs and video. I am not with the person I believe is my soulmate, but guess what? My dream came true the day I met her. I get to say that I spent an hour, a day, a week with the person that I was born to love, and not many people I know in life have ever been able to say that. And I can say it. And I might not be with that person now, although I wish that she and I were together. But the time was not right, I suppose. The universe has a plan. But the great thing was, the work I was doing in my life at the time rewarded me in such a way that I got to experience my soulmate even for an hour. And that day, those couple of days that we spent together, will always be the best memories I have of my entire lifetime. And I'm so grateful for them. And nobody can ever take those away from me, or us, or her. Regardless of where her mindset is right now, she also experienced that. As terrifying as it might have been, and as too early in her life as it might have been, it happened, and we both got to experience that dream come true, that utopia, that spiritual flying together where we felt we didn't have to talk to anybody but each other. So I feel the highest level of human accomplishment is exactly what I've gone over in this episode. It's figuring out your personal heaven. It's finding the moments where you've experienced enlightenment and trying to replicate those scenarios so that you can cultivate within yourself a personal utopia and then begin to reflect it outside of yourself by repatterning your reality and eliminating the factors that don't lead to that. And again, reinforcing those factors that improve that state. When you choose to make the decision that you can fly and that you believe other people can fly, whether physically or symbolically, the universe will reward you with the ability to fly. You might start levitating off the ground, or you might start having massive success in business. Relationships will start aligning for you. You might have money start flowing into you. Each of us have a different definition of what flying might mean to us. But it will start happening for you the moment you decide it's possible. I promise. And you will fly right to your dreams. When you add up all these factors and put all these things in place in your reality, every one of your dreams will come true. And it's not that it won't come true. It's just a matter of time. How quickly will they start to manifest? And that will be a sign or a reflection of how aligned you are. If your dreams start coming true, like day after day after day, you're in a very aligned place. But if you get to a point where dreams start coming to you months away and years away, you might have fallen out of alignment, and you might have to go through these questions and ask yourself again, what's your heaven? Are you remembering your enlightenment experiences, and are you reinforcing them? Do you have that utopia cultivated within you, or is there chaos within you? And that's now reflecting on the outside. And always believe in other people's ability to fly and succeed. Don't limit anybody else, because the moment you limit somebody else outside of you, you are then limiting something within inside of you again and creating a bad pattern. So if you want your dreams to come true, believe you can fly and believe other people can fly, cultivate your inner utopia, remember your enlightenment experiences and reinforce them, and define your heaven and pinpoint that. This is the highest level of human accomplishment. And I believe helping others attain that is what I just did, giving you the formula to do so. And guys, please subscribe, please like, please share with people that need to hear this. You have people in your life that deserve these opportunities, that deserve to adjust their consciousness to achieve their dreams and experiences on this earth plane. Heaven is not another place. It might be. It might be a plane that resonates at purity, right? But think about what that is, purity. I'm in a place where it's called pure life, pura vida. Heaven can be here. I absolutely promise you. And I wasn't in it when I first started recording this podcast. I was in the New York City, New Jersey area. That's not heaven. Anybody there knows it's not heaven. It's struggle. It's closer to hell. Physically, earth state. No, I would argue it's purgatory. That area is purgatory. It's where you work to get to the next place. Nobody wants to stay there forever. Everybody's there to make money, to make success so that they can get elsewhere. That's purgatory. There are places of heaven on earth, but it begins within your heart and it emanates from there out. It's taken me years to get to this point, but patience, dedication, and commitment to those principles that you know define you most are the most important elements you could ever focus on. Be careful not to be influenced by other people who don't know that you can fly. Surround yourself with others who believe in your ability to fly, whether they can see it or not, because you will fly one day due to those people. Believe it in yourself, and they will start to believe it for you. But most importantly, believe that they can do it too, because we all deserve it. And heaven is for the grabbing. I promise you. Guys, reach out to me. I'm on social media, both YouTube and Facebook, as Tobin Osuski. And I'm on Instagram as Flying Tobin. I would appreciate you following me and interacting with me. I don't just want you liking my stuff. I want to talk to you, comment on stuff. Let's have conversations. Let's get real. Let's grow our species to the next level before it's too late. We can all experience heaven on earth. And I am telling you, anybody who's listening to this, I believe that you can fly. I believe that you deserve heaven. And I believe that we can all build a utopia where each one of our dreams come true day after day. Let's work on it together. And we can build it together. I love you. Thank you for listening. Pura Vida.